I want to get into my message this morning that, as I said before, you know, we have Thanksgiving coming this week. Hopefully you took your turkey out this morning. It's going to need time to thaw. All right, you want to get that so that you have in time to eat on Thursday. How many of you will be traveling for Thanksgiving? Okay, a few of you. How many of you are hosting for Thanksgiving? Yeah, they're the ones with frowns. You look around. Yep. A word of advice, paper plates, okay? That's, praise the Lord for paper plates and plastic spoons and people who go home. But so glad that we're going to have this time this week, but really wanted to just take some time to speak into what this season really represents for us. And I don't know if you can see this very clearly on our screens, but we have a responsibility as the followers of Jesus, I think now, especially this time of year, to choose to be grateful instead of hateful. You know, we just came off of a pretty contentious presidential election. Don't you wish we could do that like every year? Wouldn't that be great? If we just had a presidential election every single year, we could go through that, do that again. That'd be so fun. No, who said yes? Okay, repent and turn to the Lord, okay? You know, and here's the crazy thing, that coming off of a season like that, we're so vividly aware of the divisions in our world. And that really begins to hit us full force when in a couple days we're going to be gathered together with other family members. And I don't have to be a prophet to predict. You're more than likely going to be sitting down at the table with somebody who doesn't think the way that you do. You're probably going to sit across from somebody, or maybe you'll do your best to avoid somebody, that doesn't share the same opinions about religion, about politics, about hairstyles, whatever it is. But there are people who like to argue about things. Anybody have anybody in their family just likes to argue? Oh, wow, that's not very many of you. Okay, yeah. Some of you are pointing at people. That's not nice. Okay, that's... This was just like, you can confess, but you don't throw them under the bus. Like, it's different. We have a decision to make. Do we fall into what everybody else is doing, which is get caught up in the emotion of the hatred and the division, or do we choose to be filled with grateful hearts for what God has done for us? That's what we want to focus on. I'm going to be going to Philippians chapter 4 this morning, and I really want to investigate some of the things that the Apostle Paul said about how we can approach these kind of gatherings and relationships. And I really love some of the epistles as you go through the New Testament. People ask me on occasion, like, well, if I want to read my Bible, where should I start? Here's my recommendation to you. Start at the book of John, because John just talks all about Jesus and his miracles and his power. And then you can go through the rest of the Old Testament. When you get to the book of Revelation, stop. Don't read that one. Go to Genesis. Come back. And after you've gone through the whole Old Testament, go through the New Testament again, and when you get to Revelation, stop. All right? And then, no, I'm just kidding. It's all of it really great. But I encourage you, there's so many great things that Paul teaches. And really, Paul's ministry was about getting people to practically understand what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus and live for Jesus. I think it's something that speaks to where we're at right now. So Paul, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 2 to 5, and he's speaking to a situation that's going on in the church. And here's what he says. Now, I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Now, I'm sure that if you're reading through your Bible, the names Euodia and Syntyche are probably not ones that you're very familiar with, right? Here's what I find very interesting. These two ladies had a beef with each other that is so bad, it's remembered in Scripture 2,000 years later. Right? Sisters in Christ that should be co-workers in the mission of what God wants to do. And Paul's like, this gets into his letter to the church. He's like, hey, just so you guys know, God is good. God doing these amazing things. Oh, by the way, Euodia and Syntyche, what are you doing? Like, why are you all fighting with each other? And so For thousands of years now, it has been remembered that these two couldn't get along. Aren't you glad that some of the disagreements you've had with people are not recorded in Scripture for all of eternity, right? But this is where we're coming from. And Paul meets this head on. And here's what he says. If you have a disagreement with someone, fix it. Fix it. Because as believers in Jesus, we're supposed to represent the love and mercy and kindness of God. And listen, right now more than ever, we're living in an era where disagreement is everywhere. We can find anything and everything to disagree about, right? Like, who is the better team, the Steelers or the Browns? We may never know. Oh, it's the Browns. There was a game this week, wasn't there? No, there wasn't. Okay, fine. That's a touchy subject. We need to be the people who understand that we reflect the love and mercy of God. And here's exactly what he's saying. Within the body of Christ, there should be no disagreements. There should be no divisions. There should be no brokenness. And here's the crazy thing. The world that we're living in today, it used to be, well, the church thinks this way and the world thinks that way, or this person thinks. Now it's in our families. It's in our churches. It's in our communities. It's in our neighborhoods. It's neighbor against neighbor, family member against family member, church against church. It's Facebook post against Facebook post. And we're all convinced of two ideas that we cannot escape. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Amen. My superior thinking is greater than anyone else's and everybody else is stupid, right? This is where we come from, but it doesn't reflect the mercy that God has called us to give. And I think as we're looking at the words of Paul here, can I give you a couple things for as you're going into your meetings this week for Thanksgiving? If you have a disagreement with someone, fix it. This is significant, and I want to show you why. This is from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. He speaks to this idea of what it means to have disagreements with people. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24, Jesus says this. If you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Now, I find this incredibly interesting because in one brief moment, Jesus is saying, your relationships within the body of Christ are more significant to me than your offerings. What good does it do for you to go time and time again and to offer something for the Lord? Now, this is a time of sacrifice, right? They're offering sacrificial offerings. Maybe we would put it in terms today, well, like, I tithe faithfully every single week and I'm a volunteer in this ministry. God is basically saying, well, listen, that's great, but if that's all you did and you didn't have reconciliation in your life with the person who has odd against you, you need to go fix that first before you bring those other things. Because that's what matters most to the heart of God. And so Paul says to these two ladies, I need you to fix your disagreement. And then he says to his friend in faith, we don't know his name, but he tells him, if you see a disagreement between believers, fix it. You have a responsibility, if you see brokenness and division in the body of Christ, to go and fix it. Jesus speaks about this too, also Matthew chapter 5, but in verse 9, here's what Jesus says about that. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. This is in the sermon where Jesus is talking about what we call the Beatitudes, the way that we should think that is like Jesus. He's saying, you should be peacemakers, not argumentative, not looking to be most right or have the best resources to prove somebody else wrong. You should be working to establish peace in your relationships. And so Paul speaks to this. He says, hey, if you've got a disagreement with somebody, fix it. If you see disagreements between those in the body of Christ, fix it, work on it, do something about it, because this is crucial and central to what God has called us to be. Now, here comes the big question. How do we do that? Paul is so nice here. He's like, let me show you. I'll give you exactly what you need to do. So we start, go back to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. He says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think for a second. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, okay? But there can be a little bit of nervousness about who you're going to encounter this week at Thanksgiving dinner. If you don't have any nervousness, maybe somebody's thinking about encountering you. I don't know. Maybe they're like anxious about that. I don't know. But there's just something about our gatherings where we get to this place of it's like, I just don't feel great about this. Maybe they're, what if they bring up this, or what if they bring up that, or what if they say this, or maybe you're on the offensive and you're like, well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make sure I bring up that. And it's so important for us to understand this. And so he says, don't worry about these things. I mean, I've talked to people already after our first service this morning who were sharing with me after hearing this message. They're like, I have been so worked up about the thought that I'm going to be encountering this person or that person at our Thanksgiving dinner. Instead, here's what I want to ask you to do. It's what the Bible says to do. Will you begin to pray for them? You know, I love this in our passive-aggressive culture. We're like, I'm going to put together a Facebook post that doesn't mention any names, but they'll know. Oh, they'll know. When they see it, they'll know who they are. And we'll be like, not to mention any names, but certain people, blah, 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 right? And we just spell it all out, and we're railing, right? So we'll carefully craft this, but when's the last time you got down on your knees and prayed for that person? When's the last time you prayed for their salvation? When's the last time you prayed for God's blessing on their lives? Don't you think, just maybe, that might be more productive? Is it possible, anyway, that it could be more productive to pray for someone that you're anxious about seeing instead of putting out a preemptive message on Facebook? Or, believe me, my family has gone through a lot of things over the years. A family member once put out an email to my family and said, there are certain things you can and will or will not talk about at our family gathering. I was like, oh, really? We'll see about that. I didn't go. It's important to understand that we are called to be grateful, full of gratitude, and not get caught up in what the world is doing, which is being filled with hatred towards other individuals. And here's the reality. Prayer is a defense that protects us from offense. Prayer is a defense that protects us from offense. You're thinking somebody's going to offend you this week? Yeah, they probably will if you don't go and prayed up. But I'm telling you right now, you spend some time on your hands and knees praying for that person today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, when you see them around the dinner table, there's going to be a change inside of you that may not reflect inside of them, but you're going to have a peace that even they won't understand. Because prayer changes you. But here's what we're often doing. Lord, would you help up Uncle Joe to think more like me? Would you help Uncle Joe with his intelligence? Because he's not so smart, and he thinks things that I don't think are right. Instead, God, will you fill me with compassion for Uncle Joe? Would you fill me with mercy for Uncle Joe? Would you let me have so much peace inside of me and in my countenance that it really doesn't matter what Uncle Joe says? That peace is going to remain inside of me. And that peace is what's going to come out of me. Because I know the other part is true, that you don't want to get to the dessert round of Thanksgiving and be regretting some things that you shouldn't have said. Right? Nobody's ever been there. I've done that. If you haven't, praise the Lord. God bless. I'm so happy for you. So then we look at this. Here's what Paul says further. How do we do this? Right? Philippians 4, 8, verses 8 and 9. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then, say then, and then the God of peace will be with you. So what does it take to get the God of peace to be with you? What does it take? You've got to fix your thoughts. Can I give you one, again, I'm trying to be loving here today, but I'm also just being a little pushy, all right? You might feel that, okay? Fix your thoughts before you try to fix somebody else's. Fix your thoughts before you try to fix somebody else's, right? And what does that mean? That doesn't mean change the way you think or change your opinion about something, but Paul's saying what you should be fixing your thoughts on, what you should be focused on, is things that are excellent and praiseworthy and admirable and pure and honorable. Think about these things, and then, we said then, right? Then the God of peace would be with you. Now, if you won't fix your eyes on the praiseworthy, admirable, lovely, pure, and beautiful things, guess who's not coming to dinner? the God of peace that we need for those moments. Again, I encourage you, as we're going into this week and you know who the people are who are going to frustrate you, pray for them. Seek God for them. Ask God to fix your thoughts on what you're going to experience in those moments. God, help me to think differently with compassion and love and mercy. I want to focus on your gratitude, on your great love for me so that I can be grateful instead of hateful. I want to show the love of Jesus. Now listen, we all like to use the opportunities that we have to fix other people's thoughts. But the other opportunity that presents itself in these moments is I have a chance to be Jesus to Uncle Joe. I have a chance to be Jesus to those who want to be contentious. I have a chance to be Jesus to those who want to argue and those who want to try to get me off guard, from those who want to get a reaction out of me. And it's significant that we utilize these portions, these opportunities, and say, I fix my eyes on Jesus. Because here's the truth. All of us were just as bad before Jesus got to us. Right? Weren't you just as bad before Jesus got to you? And why do we get so hung up about people who don't know Jesus acting like they don't know Jesus? Shouldn't we expect that by now? They're like, well, you don't act very godly. They're not godly. Oh, well, that explains it. Of course they don't, and they won't, but we do. And that's what God has called us to in the way that we live. I want to finish by something else that Paul said, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Probably have heard many times before, 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 to 8. It gets read at weddings all the time. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, does not boast, all these things. In the verse or the chapter right before this, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's describing spiritual gifts to them. He's talking about speaking in tongues and interpretation and gifts of wisdom and words of knowledge and all these things, and he's going on and on about the spiritual gifts. And then he goes into this reality about those who are seeking the spiritual gifts. Here's what he says, verses 1 through 3. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all, now think, I mean, that's ridiculous, right? But if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such a faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Nothing. Then in Ephesians 4, verses 30 to 32, he says this. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of your harsh words. Get rid of your slander. Get rid of all types of evil behavior instead. And this is on a t-shirt somewhere, but it actually came from the Bible. Instead, be kind. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, forgave you. I love something my family, we've done for years. We don't do it as much anymore as our family's gotten bigger. We as a family, we love to take an opportunity. Hey, what are you thankful for this year? And everybody goes around the table and they'll say what they're thankful for. Can I offer you an encouragement of something to avoid in that moment? Just hear me out. It might not be the right time to say, I'm just so thankful that Donald Trump won the election. You're looking for a fight. That's all you're looking for. You're just looking for a fight then. You're not trying to be filled with gratitude. You're not trying to be the heart of Jesus. You're trying to pick a fight with somebody. You're like, I wonder how they'll feel about this. I'm just so grateful. I don't think you're making God very happy. Can I ask you a question? Why do we let gatherings with people we love get ruined by the names of people we've never even met. Why do we do that? What have we gained by letting that ruin time with the people that we love? Because we wanted to use it as an opportunity to argue about people we've never even met. God's called us to be light. And I just, as I close here, I want to give you this last thought. In choosing between being right and showing love, love like Jesus. You know, in Scripture, Jesus had some harsh things to say. Do you know who he said them to? The people who thought they were godly. He didn't say it to sinners. Jesus did not go into groups of sinners and chastise them and put them down and abuse them and speak harshly and angrily against them. He got mad at people who were supposed to be followers of God who were acting for themselves instead of the will of God. That made Jesus mad. That's what got his blood pressure up. When he encountered sinners, when he encountered people who needed salvation, he looked at them and with compassion, he knew every time, if I love them, it will change them. If I show mercy to them, it will change them. You know, the Bible reminds us that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And if it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, hear me out. It might be your kindness that does the same. You might not lead a family member to Jesus by trying to be grateful for an election around your table on Thanksgiving afternoon. You might not do it that way. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. God says, be grateful. Choose gratitude. Choose love. Fix your eyes on godly things. Fix your eyes on things that are admirable and praiseworthy and honorable and pure and true. I don't know about you. I haven't met any politicians that meet those yet. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Choose to be a light and an example to the people that you encounter in your family. And don't let your time together with them be ruined by names of people you've never even met. Let me summarize this for you in four words. Don't be a jerk. That's not that hard, is it? Well, be the light of Jesus. Be grateful. Be grateful. God gave you a chance this week to travel and see family and spend time with them. Don't be anxious. Pray for them. Don't look for opportunities to sow discord. Look for opportunities to sow peace. Don't look for the opportunity to be right. Look for the opportunity to show love. Because this is how we honor Jesus. And this is how we show that we're grateful for what Jesus has done for us. And when we do that, some of those people who contend with us more than anyone else might just be saved. Will you pray with me? God, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for you, God, and what you've done for us, the gift of your Son Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us, and we fix our eyes on this. We are so undeserving of such a gracious gift. And you didn't give it to us because we deserve it. You gave it because of your abundant love that you had for us. And God, I pray for those this week that are going to be going into situations where maybe they'll encounter a family member or a friend that just thinks differently than they do and is contentious and wants to start a fight and pick an argument. And God, I just pray that you will give them a peace inside themselves that allows them to be a light into those situations. To be grateful instead of hateful. Because that's how we truly honor you and share your love with the world. As we're in prayer and just nobody's looking around right now, but I want to ask you, and maybe you're here and you know you're going to encounter somebody this week in a family gathering or some other area, and it's going to be a struggle for you to be the light of Christ in that moment and to share the love of Jesus in that moment. But you say, I want to go in with an anointing from God and my eyes fixed on the right thing so that I can honor Jesus with these interactions. If that's you, can I ask you to raise a hand? I want to pray for you. Yeah. Yeah, all across the room. Thank you. Thank you. I want to pray that over you. I don't say that flippantly. I know family can be hard. I know that it's not easy to feel like you're being attacked. But Jesus did it, so we can do it too. So God, I just pray for those who raised their hand, those all over this room and those who may be watching us online, who realize that going into family gatherings, it creates a greater tension in their hearts than a joy. And God, I just pray that rather than giving in to sowing the seeds of discord and disunity and argument and disagreement, that they would be a people who are filled with the light of Christ, who go into these situations not looking for an argument, but looking for an opportunity to be Jesus. And God, even if the places that they go and the people that they experience are not themselves or necessarily peaceful, I pray that just as Paul said, that we would receive that promise that when we fix our eyes on you, the author, perfecter, and finisher of our faith, that the peace of God, which exceeds all understanding in every situation, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that for some, maybe it won't be the right word to say, but the right time to just keep silent. That you'll help us to love like you and represent you well. God, I pray that you'll be with us as we go this week. I pray especially for those who are traveling. I pray your mercies on them, God, as they travel, that you would command your angels to surround their vehicles and keep them safe on the roads, especially on Wednesday, the most traveled day of the year. That you will protect them and help them to reach their destinations, and that they'll enjoy their time with family and friends. God, we want to be grateful and not hateful, so we fix our eyes on you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Adam, would you come and close us?
Thanks, Pastor Chris. As we're wrapping up, I know my family, we're going to be sitting around the dinner table in a couple days, and it's gonna be like this. Who survived the most spankings with the wooden spoon? It's going to be who broke whose nose, and how did Uncle Mark's arm get broken, and how did Uncle Stephen go down the stairs, and who is responsible and who's to blame? And all those moments in our life that we have, they're the ones that shine. And they shine because the broken nose started with a tickle fight. And the loving that we had, and I think everything started with a tickle fight at my house. Just be real. And the falling out of the tree happened because we were playing in the woods together. And the hide and go seek and the tag and all of the childhood love, right? And these are the people that I'm about to sit around a dinner table with. And we're going to complain because somebody took 4 deviled eggs instead of 2. And they're halves, so of course 4 is 2. And we love them. And they love you. And if they're on your heart and you're sitting in your seat today, and look, I know maybe, all right, during the Liberty Mutual insurance advertisement later today, you're going to have that person is going to be on your mind. You know it. And you have a responsibility to go back in time and pull out that love and pull out those playful moments. You could talk about what you choose to talk about. You could change a conversation. But you right now have a moment to pray for people that you love. And take advantage of that moment. Why would you leave the sanctuary today without lifting those people up? Because I think that more than anything, wouldn't you love for them to be beside you today? Wouldn't you love for them to join you at the altar? Wouldn't you love to know that they're a believer or that they are saved? But as you leave today, don't waste a moment, all right, on selfish ambitions. But let's talk for a second I got one announcement to make. The Lakes at Jefferson Christmas present drive, all those presents, they need to be in by next Sunday morning, okay? And next Sunday afternoon, they're going to be delivered to a bunch of people who need some love, who need some friendships, who need just some presence in their life. And our church is doing that. So we can't just be about our own business in the church, but we have to be about the business of the community, right? So lift those people up in prayer as well. As you leave today, you're about to be a blessing to this world. Should you choose to be salt and light, go. Do it. And waste no time impacting someone that needs Jesus' love. Get out of here. It's been a great day. It's going to get better. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.